This is the radio show helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. Welcome to Business Profits Radio with your host, Robert Scrobe. Business Profits Radio is the small business owner's resource for marketing, sales, operations, and profitability. Robert Scrobe uses his extensive business contacts and practical business experience to identify the business people who are creating exceptional profits. Robert's guests are business owners just like you who are building successful companies. Robert gets them to share their best strategies and tactics so you can apply their knowledge in your business. Robert is a business owner, certified public accountant, published author, employer, husband, and father. He understands the pressures business owners face and brings answers and advice to you. You can receive email updates about future shows and listen to Business Profits University online by visiting businessprofitsradio.com. That's businessprofitsradio.com. Now, here's your host for Business Profits Radio, Robert Scrobe.
Welcome to Business Profits Radio. I've got a great show today. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. My guest today is Susan Steinbrecher. She is author of the book Heart-Centered Leadership, and I have some questions for her about how heart-centered leadership is any different than regular leadership and whether or not you shouldn't you lead with your mind. And so it'll be a very interesting discussion, and so stay tuned. And also, we've got a lot of listener questions on employee management issues that we're going to tackle here today on Business Profits Radio. Coming up, your profitable business truth is something that business owners are often very scared of that holds them back. And we're going to talk about how you can prevent it from holding you back today. And also at the end of the program, I've got some comments about credibility. And there's a lot of discussion between the pundits and the Republicans versus Barack Obama and the debate over health care. And in the end, it all comes down to credibility. And so it's a great example for us to look at credibility for politicians, but also shine the mirror back on ourselves as business owners and really evaluate how much credibility we have when we go out and talk with our customers. So stay tuned for that. I want to thank you. That's right. I want to thank you for being a listener of Business Profits Radio. Each week, over 25,000 people tune into Business Profits Radio as their source of information to learn how they can make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. So I want to thank you for being one of our loyal Business Profits Radio listeners. If you have comments, what do you think of Business Profits Radio? From 1 to 5, how many stars would you give it? Would you give it 1? Would you give it 5? Well, let me know. Run over to iTunes. You can check out iTunes.com, download it, or if you have it on your computer, go ahead and open it up. Search for Business Profits Radio and rate the program from 1 to 5 stars. I'd be very curious to see what you think of it. And you know what? Not only will I be curious, but I'll also reward you for commenting on iTunes. If you go and post on iTunes, 1 to 5 stars, whatever you think it deserves, then go to my blog at robertscrobe.com. Go post a comment to any of the posts there on the blog that says, "Hey, I rated you on iTunes." I will send you a copy of my book, Profitable Business Truths. It's the 16 secrets that business owners follow that are break free and succeed in business. It's yours for free. No shipping, no but nothing, yours for free, no strings attached. Comment on iTunes, go to my blog, post a comment, tell me you rated on iTunes, and it's yours. That's it. That's the only strings that are attached. Now, I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to speak to the students at Florida State University. I was invited to go and make a presentation about entrepreneurship and business ownership. And through that presentation, I discussed some of the things that I had gone through in running my own business, and a lot of, certainly you've probably had some of this stuff yourself, but through my life and my business efforts, I have nearly gone bankrupt twice. I didn't actually file, didn't actually get discharged, and in fact ended up paying everybody back with interest. But I went through that, and it was perilous. It was a difficult time. And so I talked a little bit about that during my comments. And one of the students asked me, she said, Robert, how does it feel to have gone through that challenging financial time and lived through it? What is it that you learn? And you know what? The first thing that I learned, the primary thing, was not to be scared of it. And I think so many of us have a lot of fear about letting go of our jobs, letting go of a client that's holding us back, letting go of an employee who's got an important relationship that we don't want to jeopardize for fear that we could be impacted very negatively financially. Now, you always got to keep in mind that you could be impacted and you've got to have a plan B and a plan C for dealing with those things. But fear isn't the emotion that you should feel. Instead, it should be a simple matter of pro versus con. And if a client is holding you back, if there's a relationship that's preventing you from succeeding, you've got to be able to let go of that without the fear. And I think the biggest thing that living through those financial difficulties gave to me was the ability to face it without fear. You know what? We ate spaghetti for a long time, months, maybe even years. And yeah, because that was really all we could afford. I remember there was one time where we paid all the bills. I paid myself on Friday and we paid all the bills on Saturday. And it was 13 days now until I was going to get paid again. And we had $9.78 in our checking account. $9.78 to buy 13 days worth of groceries and gas and anything else that we needed. And you know what? That was tough. It certainly was. Actually, on that Sunday, I went out and sold all of my CDs so that we had grocery money. And it wasn't anything that I was proud of, or not necessarily proud of it now. The reason I'm telling you is, yeah, that happens, but you can't be afraid of it. It isn't something to be feared. You can work your way through it. I remember I owed about $45,000-$50,000 on credit cards. And at the time, I was only generating maybe $24,000 in revenues. Like, oh my gosh, I don't even make this much a year. How on earth am I going to pay it back? Well, within about 3 years, it was paid back through businesses, through working hard, through creating little ways of making money here and there. And then when it got paid off, I was able to accumulate a little bit of money. Not much. I'm not rich by any means, but my business set me free. Being untied, unchained from an employer, and having the freedom to grow my own income, the freedom to invest in my own work, and the freedom to enjoy the revenue I generated from investing in my own work is what set me free from debt, and it's what set me free from fear. I don't have to fear anymore about going broke because I know it's not like losing a job where you're out. Now I know how to run a business. And so that allows me to go anywhere, run any business and do anything. And that's the freedom that we give you here on Business Profits Radio. Coming up on Business Profits Radio, we've got Susan Steinbrecher, author of Heart-Centered Leadership. And we're going to talk about how you can lead your team and get more productivity after this. Hi, this is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. I grew up in business in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing. At that time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. In the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book with Bob Rigneras about internet marketing. It's titled The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate money for me. I'm not a web programmer. I have a web guy who does all the techie work. That's what we want to teach you in my book, The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet, how you can create a website, understand what you need to know to prepare the information for a web designer, evaluate what he or she creates, and then give him instructions on how to finalize it for the web. For information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar tour of several websites, preview chapters, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. That's internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested lots of things but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web and millions are buying things. There isn't any reason why they can't be buying from you. To get the details of creating a website to get them to buy from you, visit internetinformationmarketing.com. Susan Steinbrucker is the author of the book Heart-Centered Leadership, and she's my guest today on Business Profits Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, and Susan's book is An Invitation to Lead from the Inside Out. Oh, my goodness, Susan, this is all that mushy stuff.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to Business Profits Radio. Now, how is heart-centered leadership any better than the good old-fashioned logical, I'd say it and you get it done?
Okay. Well, obviously, we have to include the brain in the equation, of course. We do have to have strategy and all those other competencies, if you will. But what we really know, I mean, you can look at research study after research study, and you can talk to associates, and, you know, what they're looking for is recognition. They're looking to be valued as a whole person, not just the worker. They want to be respected. They want to be appreciated. And if they do that, I mean, if a leader can do that for them, then they're motivated to work their very best for you. And in a leadership position, what more can you ask for than tapped in, turned on, tuned in associates who really want to perform their best for you?
But Susan, isn't that just babying them? I mean, don't you have to be no. tough?
Well, you know, I think I hear that, and I tell you, at the end of the day, though, if you really ask people to think about the best boss they ever had in their entire career, every time we've asked that question, the list is always the same. This person took me under their wing. This person believed in me. This person valued me. They cared about me. What never hits the list are things like they were a great strategic thinker and they knew how to run a P&L.
Well, what about discipline? Don't you have to install good discipline?
Well, you do have discipline, and to the point I look at it, that is accountability. You absolutely have to have accountability, no question about it. But I often talk to people that say, well, with heart-centered leadership, are you saying that you would never fire a person? You would never coach this person for performance? I said, well, absolutely the opposite.
Oh, I figured you'd give them a hug instead.
No.
Oh.
You know, it sounds that way, but really the truth is this. If you genuinely care about a person and they're not working out in the position, you're not doing them any favors by keeping them there. They know they're struggling, and everybody else knows they're struggling.
So it's for their benefit that you'd fire them. That's
absolutely
the difference.
Really, at the end of the day, that would be true. Now, how you do that, that's really the trick.
So it's not, you know, it's just not, I wouldn't fire you. If I was cold, hard, I would keep you lugging around here forever, but it's for your benefit that I'm letting you go.
No, I wouldn't say it quite like that.
So give me some example of a business that, you know, used to do it the old-fashioned way, and now it's so much better now that they've embraced this heart-centered leadership model.
Well, you know, there's many, many of them out there that are doing that right now. I mean, I think they really understand that, you know, business as usual is no longer working, right? We've got all this stuff going on in our economy. We've all seen the corporate scandal. We've all seen the pain, if you will, of non-transparency or inauthentic leadership.
So it wasn't
looking for something better than that.
It wasn't about over-leverage and consumer spending on debt. There was not enough heart-centered leadership.
Well, that's part of it. It's not the whole picture, obviously, but certainly a part of it.
And so what is any businesses that you've worked with that have really had a good turnaround? What did they do?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, most of the companies that embrace this, they totally get it. I mean, they get the bigger picture. They know that if you take excellent care of your associates, they will take excellent care of that customer who will in turn take care of the business. When you try to bypass that middle part, the associate, that's when you get yourself in trouble. Because the customer feels exactly, I mean, listen, if you've got people that are demotivated and they're all unhappy and they're stressed out and frustrated and they hate their boss, how would we think that's not going to show in the customer relationship? Of course it is.
It's working fine for me.
Okay. Well, you know, here, I'm the first one to say that, hey, if what you're doing is working, go for it. I'm talking to the people that's not working. Right?
Susan Steinbrecher is an internationally acclaimed businesswoman, executive coach, speaker, and author, and is also the president and CEO of Steinbrecher & Associates, a management consulting firm that provides professional development services in the area of executive coaching, group facilitation, and leadership training. And today, she is also a guest on Business Profits Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrope, and check out Susan's website and her book, Heart-Centered Leadership. And I'll go ahead and repeat this in just a moment, but get a pen and paper now. And if you just so happen to have a pen and paper handy, let me give you the website address. It's steinbrecher.com. That's www.steinbrecher.com. Check out the site. Check out her book. I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, Sue, we've established that heart-centered leadership is the way to go, and it is one of the ills that have been dragging our economy down, that the lack of this heart-centered leadership. So what exactly is heart-centered leadership?
Well, I like to describe it and put it in comparison and contrast to what management is and what I think leadership is. When you think about what management is, this is somebody who's typically very tactically focused. They have their to-do list. They're into planning, organizing, and controlling, if you will. They're concerned about effective and efficient uses of resources. Leaders are more, you know, they have the ability to make things happen. They set a vision. They are encouraging and inspiring and a catalyst for change and moving people towards accomplishing that vision. Great things, but heart-centered leadership builds upon that model and takes it one step further. These are folks that really have the wisdom, the courage, the compassion, to lead with authenticity, humility, transparency, and service. And
we
have
seen lot.
Time and time again,
humility.
People are looking for more transparency.
And humility and service?
And humility.
All right. So
believe it or not.
how do I go from where I am to being that heart-centered leader that I really want to be?
Well, the thing is, we often have so many people ask that, and they'll say, I love that idea, and you know, at the end of the day, I want to make a difference in the world. I want to give back. It, you know, this is kind of a rat race, and I want to leave some kind of a legacy, so what's the path to getting there? That's why we wanted to spell that out in our book. So we came up with 7 principles that helps you move towards becoming the heart-centered leader.
Okay.
The first one's called Know Thyself. So you start with looking in the mirror and honestly owning your strengths, your opportunities, what you're good at, what you're not good at, and being honest about that and getting some feedback on that.
Anything other than self-reflection.
Yeah, it's that, but it's beyond that. It's really getting feedback from other people.
Oh, my goodness. I got to ask them what they think of me?
You bet. Because, you know, you show up in a certain way every day in the world, and they're pretty perceptive about what impact you're making.
I don't want to have to listen to those people.
Yeah, those people.
All
right.
What else do you got?
Don't assume or judge, instead come to understand. That is a big one, because people look at a behavior from an associate, and they immediately come to assumption about why that person's doing what they're doing, and they judge the behavior, which does nothing to solve the problem. The defensiveness goes up with the associate when you approach them. So this is really about asking the question, how is it possible Johnny's been late 3 times this week, instead of sitting Johnny down and saying, Johnny, you've been late 3 times this week. I think Johnny knows he's been late. So that doesn't solve anything. And so what we need to do is to collaborate, really in a collaborative way, sit down, problem solve, and put our heads together, adult-to-adult type of a conversation, and really look for change to take place. That's the best way to get there. We also have what we call they need what you need, which is really just having that whole understanding. We're not really any better than them. We may have a different title. We may have a different position. We may make more money. Reality is, at the end of the day, people want that same kind of basic need, respect, recognition, value, et cetera.
And actually, all of that can add up to a whole lot more than money for most employees.
Oh, in fact, it is. I think, you know, again, look at any recent study, or really this has been nothing new for 20 years, but anything you look at out there right now is saying that it's really not about money. It's about my relationship with my boss. That's the number one factor as to whether someone stays or quits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know today there's a lot of additional stress, and some people are hunkering down and holding on to, clinging to the job even if they're miserable.
That's what I'm counting on.
Yeah, but think about that. You know, think about, do you really want a person sitting there that's so totally disengaged that they're watching the clock? No, of course.
Yeah, but they show up on time, Susan.
Of course you don't.
So, all right. How about another principle?
Letting go is another one. And that's the hardest thing for most managers, because what we're really saying about that is trust.
Mm.
It's empowering your associates to perform. Yes, you guide. Yes, you set parameters. Yes, you coach. But listen, at the end of the day, they're never going to develop to take on the next step. You're going to be overwhelmed and overburdened if you don't learn to let go a bit.
That brings up a very important point that I want to ask you about in just a moment. Prior to joining Steinbrecher & Associates, Susan was a rising star with one of the country's best-known hotel chains for 14 years. Susan went from entry-level to the chain's youngest general manager in history to leading the strategic training and developing initiatives. And she's our guest today on Business Profits Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. Go check out Heart-Centered Leadership. The website is at www.steinbrecher.com. That's steinbrecher.com. Coming up on Business Profits Radio, we have answers to your questions. I have a lot of employee-related questions that we have, and we're going to be providing answers in the next segment. Now, Susan, you had mentioned about recognition, and I also want to ask you too a couple of examples in the area of letting go. And in fact, let me talk about that. What if you have somebody on your team that you trust, but they don't trust themselves? And so every time they have a choice, it's they present you with the challenge and you ask them, or ask them, you know, all right, well, what do you think the reaction should be? And you know, they'll write it, they'll tell me, and they're like, okay, now go do it. And really, they should have just done it to begin with. It's one thing for me to let go and trust them. It's another thing for them to trust themselves. How do you install that? How do you help people develop in that way?
You know, that's an excellent point, because I've run into that very, very thing. You know, one of the things that really brings to my mind, when I was that new general manager at age 25 running a $40 million asset and 100 employees, is noticing the line at my desk every day with people coming, what I would say, wanting to dump the problem.
Well, you were the wonder kid. They wanted to come to your feet.
That, but I started to figure out really quickly that this was not a sustainable strategy, because I couldn't get my own work done. So I literally, you know, I announced in a staff meeting, and I said, listen, I totally understand that you have situations come up and you're looking for advice, or you're looking for assurance or whatever. But from this day forward, what I'm really asking of you is, you can come to me with an issue or a problem, but before you do, I'm going to ask you to think of two solutions first, so that you have at least thought through what you think is the answer, and then you can come to me for that. What I found was most of the time people just wanted the validation. They really had the answers. So what I've done about that is I've counseled people in the scenario that you described, when I ran into a few of those folks, is to say, what will it take for you to trust yourself? You know, what will it take? And then they would give me that list, and I'd say, then that's what I want you to start working on, because you have to take the risk. And a great boss taught me a fabulous lesson once, and it is so much easier to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never forgotten that, and that was so empowering, and that really allowed me to start to take the risk. That's what he was trying to tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
At that new general manager position, I remember asking my boss several times, well, can I do this and can I do that? And he would just hang up on me. He literally would make that statement, it's so much easier to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission, and hang up. And I remember being horrified, thinking he didn't get my question. I'd call him back, and he'd say, Susan, it's so much easier to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission and hang up. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is not going to – I mean, so
well,
I got it really quick.
Well, you're not going to feel –
And then you know what? The truth is he did me such a service.
Tough
because
love.
What was he trying to tell me? Go for it.
That's a little dose of tough love. I don't know if that's heart-centered leadership.
Oh, that wasn't. That was not. But I'll tell you, he could have done that a little bit different way, and I would have less trauma. But the reality is I did eventually get it. And it's been an empowering thing, and I often recommend people to really get that.
All right. Well, what this whole recognition thing, you got to, like, tell them that they've done a good job every now and then. What's that all about?
Yeah, of course, because, listen, most people, I mean, I don't believe anybody really jumps out of bed in the morning saying, gee, I think I'll disappoint everybody around me today. You know, I just don't think people do that intentionally.
Tomorrow's the day for me.
People always argue that point with me. But I think for the most part, that is really not how people are made, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that doesn't mean that their behavior doesn't create disappointment, but their intention is really the core.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think knowing that, most people really do the best they know how to do. And I think the more that you are able to say, you know, listen, specific feedback, here's what you did, here was the impact of that, and why that was important. That's kind of the formula. If you do that and it's very specific, people really get a charge out of that. And I would argue the point that most people would honestly admit that the one-hand personal note that was sent to them or the special email message or the letter that was given to them that said, hey, you know, you did an outstanding job on that, that's stuff they still keep.
Now,
kept it for years.
Will you repeat that template, what you did, why it was important? What was that template again?
The specific situation and the impact that it had.
Okay.
So when you did this, when you empathized with Mrs. Smith over the phone, that really worked because fill in the blank.
That's a great formula, and I think it could help us all get closer towards heart-centered leadership.
Absolutely.
Well, Susan, coming up in our next segment, we actually have listener questions where folks have submitted questions, challenges that they have with members of their team. Do you mind sticking around and helping with those? Well, good. Well, in the meantime, check out steinbrecher.com, steinbrecher.com, and we'll be right back after a brief message with questions from you.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about called The Phenomenon? Question, was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
You have questions and we have answers. My guest today is Susan Steinbrecher, author of the book Heart-Centered Leadership, and we're going to take on your best shot. We're going to go through your questions. Thank you, Susan, for hanging in with us and helping listeners of Business Profits Radio.
Absolutely.
Well, Susan, our first question comes from Harold Jacobs in Wichita, Kansas, and he writes, I've got this employee who does a great job when he's here, but he often shows up late. It hurts morale because the other employees see me as picking favorites. How do I get him to show up at work on time?
Okay, so that's definitely what I would call a performance discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first step is to talk about the specifics of the situation. So don't say you're always late because that's not true.
Mm.
You would say Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you were 10 minutes late. And while you're saying that, you want to package that with what I call some self-esteem boosters, right? So it's like, you know, Harold would say, let's say his name is Johnny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny, you know, you're an excellent employee, and when you're here, you do fantastic work, and everybody notices that. Take the word "but" out, which everybody wants to do next. Drop it. Then go to the next point. What I've noticed is that on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, you were 10 minutes late. go to the next step. Next step is to show him the impact of him being late. So the reason this concerns me is that when you're late, it really does put pressure on others. And because your work is excellent and we want you here, I wanted to see if I could have a discussion with you today to find out what's happening.
But I generated all my sales over quota. What's that matter what time I get here?
You know, you're absolutely right. Your work has been fantastic, and we want that to continue. The impact, again, is other people perceive that as an unfair advantage, and I'm sure you can appreciate that. And with that in mind, what we're most interested in is really uncovering what's happening so that we can just resolve this. And so tell me, if you would, what's happening, what's causing you to be late. And so ask for the reason, right? And let's say the reason is, oh, I just can't drag myself out of bed. You know, whatever. You know, it could be something really realistic.
Or even drop the kids off at school.
Or whatever, absolutely. And say, so this is where I find the negotiation has to come in. Because, listen, the old sort of school of thought was that, you know, you just demand things of employees and they're just going to do it. And the truth is, they're not doing it anyway. He's late. So you might as well start figuring out how to negotiate something that's going to work. Now, I don't mean lay down and let him roll over you. What I'm trying to say about that is that you come to a place of saying, oh, okay, now I understand you have to drop off kids in the morning. Would it be better for you to work in the night schedule? Well, no, that's not going to work. Okay, well then, what can we do, Johnny, to get you here on time? Because it's going to be really important that you are. So what ideas do you have to overcome some of the hurdles that we've talked about today? Because I totally get it. I totally understand those circumstances. It's very difficult to be a parent today, so you notice I'm using empathy here, all of that. And at the same time, we need to figure out a way to get you here on time. So what ideas do you have? So you're putting the responsibility back on their court, so to speak.
And I really like the way where you get them to try to present a lot of the answers. It's kind of like when I was a kid, my parents would ask me, okay, well, what kind of punishment do you think is suitable for what you've just done?
There is power in that, right? You know, listen, here's the truth. They have the situation. They need to own the situation. They need to own the solution to it. If you stand there and tell this person, well, all you have to do is just set your alarm, or all you have to do is get a babysitter, all you have to do, you know, they don't own the solution now. And then then it gives them the ammunition to come back and say, well, that didn't work and that didn't work. You're back to square one. Whereas if they came up with a solution, there's a little bit more positive pressure, if you will, for them to overcome it, because they're the ones that gave you the solution.
Yeah, well, and also it's easy when you're presenting all these solutions, it's easy for them to invalidate every single one.
That's exactly
right. Where there's pros and cons with all of them, and when you put it on them to come up with the solution, more likely they're going to come up with something that they can embrace that the boss back home can embrace as well.
Yes, and here's something really important before we end that, is once you have come up with those solutions, and you can throw an idea here and there, but they just need to own it. That's the point. Then you must summarize what you heard. Don't assume you are communicating. Okay.
Should you also document it?
Yeah. And even if it's verbal, what I would do is just say, okay, so Johnny, just to be sure that we're on the same page, what I heard you say is that you're going to do A, B, and C. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
So does heart-centered leadership also mean that Harold has to give him a hug?
No, not necessarily. But you know what? That summarization is really important because the miscommunication is so prevalent, and that's when the frustration on both ends really dials up, because they thought they understood, but they didn't understand, and now everybody's angry and frustrated. So the summation is really critical.
Well, we're all for decreasing frustration. My guest is Susan Steinbrecher, author of the book Heart-Centered Leadership, An Invitation to Lead from the Inside Out, the 7 fundamental principles used by today's most successful business leaders. You need to check it out. And the best way to check it out is by visiting Susan's website. It's www.steinbrecher.com. Let me spell it for you. It's STEINBRECHER. Now, Susan, our next question comes from Percy Sanchez in Ontario, California. Percy writes, my business isn't one of those exciting .com companies. I'm in construction. We only have one computer at the office to do our accounting, and I've interviewed young people to work at my office, but they never come back. I need office help with computers. How do I attract young people to work at my company?
Well, the first thing you need to identify is why they're not coming back.
Mm.
What, you know, where's the disconnect? Because, yes, you probably need to attract that certain type of person because they're more computer savvy, probably more technically oriented than perhaps Percy may be or the other people working there may be. But if you can identify why they're not coming back, then you've got an idea of, you know, what do you do to close that gap?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, if I could just, if they would also look at the potential for having somebody work out of the office setting.
That was going to be my advice.
Yeah.
Is to really define exactly what it is you need to get done.
That's right.
Is it accounting work? Is it billing? Is it, you know, and then once you've defined and created job descriptions, very often, even if the office environment isn't what somebody had envisioned, the challenge of being able to take this relatively raw material and turning it into something that actually could be more exciting than somebody walking into a big campus environment where everybody is on the, you know, doing the same thing. So
that's right.
So actually, Percy, you may actually be able to be an attractant to a lot of young folks that enjoy the challenge of bringing you into the 21st century.
Yeah, but find out why they're not coming back, and that's then you have something to work on to close that gap.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, go visit Susan's website at www.steinbrecher.com. So our last question comes from Gerald Williams in Charlotte, North Carolina. My company has 18 employees. We recently had to lay off 4 people. We'd be okay if everyone did their jobs, but the layoffs really hurt morale, and now no one trusts me.
Yeah.
How do I gain trust and cooperation so that we can work our way through a tough economy? Now, this is a tough one, Susan. A lot of companies
have had... but I hear this every day. You know, of course, there's things that perhaps could have been done proactively, but now we are where we are, right? So with where we are at this moment, I would say this. This is the time to have the authentic, transparent conversation. This is where you sit around the table with those 18 people, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or whoever's left, and really start talking about what is going on with you. How are you feeling? And I mean, it's a feeling conversation because you can brain this all you want, but the reason morale is down and the reason they're not working at their best is they're upset. So if you don't address that front and center, you're never going to pull it. You're never going to pull them to the logical side of the world if you don't first deal with the emotional side of the world. So this is where you go in and you say, listen, what's going on? How are you feeling? I know this is unsettling. I realize that it's lots of empathy. I realize that you've gone through some tough times. You've lost some good friends. I know that's been difficult. You know, I'm sorry about the impact that's had. Where do we go from here? And let them vent. Let them show their express their frustration, their anger, whatever that is. And that's where that leader cannot be defensive. They need to take it in. They need to show empathy back. They need to show the compassion for how people are feeling. And then from there, and only after that, are you going to be able to move them towards the business and say, listen, you know, maybe I, you know, then this is the authenticity part again. Maybe I could have done that a little bit differently. My commitment to you is that I'll look at that next time and do that differently.
Mm.
What do we need to do as a group to move forward? Because all of us have something at stake if we're not performing at our best. We won't have a company to be working at.
So imagine if Gerald breaks out the new job descriptions with all the new work divided from those 4 people that go.
Not a good idea. Not at that moment, anyway. You're not there yet. The reality, listen, even Gallup did a ton of work on this, and they found out that they call it their Q12 piece.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is that when somebody loses a best friend at work, that is one of the top 10 motivators of an employee. Is that they have a friend at work. So these people have gone through a death. That's really what that's like. And there is a mourning cycle. And you have to be respectful of that. You can't stand there and say, get over it. That is not going to work.
And what I found, because I actually went through this situation, I had quite a few layoffs back in 2002 and really had to remake the company.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found that built trust the most was transparency.
That's it.
And by going, okay, yeah, this really sucked. I can tell you it was no fun for me. and I had to do a lot of things that I didn't like, but that was the reality of where we were with our customers. But now this is where we are with our customers. This is what they pay us. This is what they pay us for. And if we are able to deliver high quality product, then we're going to be successful. And at the same time, I then also presented a solution for the future.
Good.
And I said, 2 years from now, we've got a lot of digging to kind of get ourselves out of this hole. But if by changing our direction, by taking on these types of clients instead of those old kind and focusing on these three areas, in a couple of years, we should be a lot farther along than we ever would have been had we not made these changes.
Oh, I totally agree. I think what you've really said is something I've been trying to share with people is people are looking for hope right now. Those employees sitting there want to know that you feel there's a future with this company. They want to see your hope. They want to see your belief. They want to see your confidence. And this is also when you tap into all those resources sitting there. Ask them, what ideas do you have? What can we do collectively to move this company forward? Let me share with you what the game plan is and where I think we're going to go. And we're going to get through this. And not only are we going to get through this, we're going to actually be ahead of the game at the end of this. And I need your help to do that.
And this doesn't necessarily mean it's like open book management where they're all into the financial matters.
No, exactly. Exactly.
It's showing them the strategic vision and direction. And you said they need to see you have hope, but I guess they don't need to see your resume at monsters.com or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They don't need to see every detail of it, but right. What I think the more that you can say to them, these are our challenges. What ideas do you have? What would you do if you were in my shoes? And thank them for all of that. Listen, they're closest to the customer. They know more than anyone's going to know what is wrong and what is working. And that, let them tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to help you.
And I've always said, and you may not like this one, but I've always said, I really want to know what your advice. I certainly reserve reserve the right to ignore your advice, but I...
Maybe I wouldn't use that choice of word, but what I would say is, listen, I'm going to take in all the information that I can, right, wrong, or indifferent. The responsibility I have is to take in everything and make some decisions. The decision I make may or may not be the one you would have made. Mm-hmm. Please understand that's just the position I'm in. I am very open, however, and I really do want to hear what everyone has to say.
Wow, Susan, you've got a way with words. And so I encourage everybody to check out your book, Heart-Centered Leadership, An Invitation to Lead from the Inside Out. You can get more information at Susan's website, steinbrecher.com. That's steinbrecher. So check out the Heart-Centered Leadership. Improve your production. Improve your people by improving yourself. Thank you, Susan, so much
Thank
for being
so
my
much.
Guest today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Coming up after this break is your profitable business truth, which is the thing that holds more business people back than anything else, right after this.
Would you like to become a guru? Have you ever wanted to publish home study courses, audio programs, or franchise your business? It's a lot easier than you'd think. As a matter of fact, Robert Scrobe, the host of Business Profits Radio, teamed up with Entrepreneur Magazine to publish a book outlining how you can create your own information products. Receive a free online video outlining 5 information products and see how easy it is to create your own. Visit guruquick.com. You too can become a published author, create your own home study products, and become a guru. It's easy and only takes a few short weeks. Check out the free training video at guruquick.com. That's www.guruquick.com.
Throughout my years in business, I have identified 16 essential truths business owners must follow to break free and build a lifestyle that gives them income, wealth, and the freedom to enjoy it. I'm Robert Scrobe, and as your host of Business Profits Radio, I bring you one of these truths each week. And this week is something that really, unfortunately, holds a lot of business owners back that really shouldn't. And that is the fear of failure. I know it shows itself in so many ways. And so let's talk a little bit about how it shows up, because every time somebody always would tell me out here, oh, well, you gotta overcome the fear of failure. The only thing that holds people back is the fear of success and the fear of failure. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not afraid of succeeding, and I'm not afraid of failing. I don't care. It's all a numbers game anyway. But when it gets down to it, there was a lot of fear of failure, and it is something that is still challenging, because you look and go, oh, man, I could maybe apply some of the advice that Susan Steinbrecher shared with us today. And then I go, oh, but if I do that, maybe they're going to think bad of me, or maybe they're not going to give me the respect that I want to have, or maybe it's just not going to work out. Well, every time you feel that way, that is fear of failure, concern over what could happen. And every time that happens, that holds you back. Now, what failure really is a part of your essential business growth. I really learned this in the marketing side of business. And in marketing, when you come out with a new strategy, you test it first. Because no matter, marketers have figured out over the last many years that of all the great ideas and everything you think up on that and write down on the pad and you discuss around a conference table and everybody beats back and everybody gives their opinion and everybody gives the results, only about 5% of those great ideas turn out to actually be any good at all. And so it's essential. It's just part of business to implement, test, and monitor new ideas to see which ones are successful and which ones are not. And so many business owners are on the sidelines wanting to get in, wanting to have a business of their own, wanting to try to implement a new marketing strategy, watching customers leave their business and wanting to go out and get new ones and wanting to create a marketing program that will keep the ones they got, wanting to create an initiative to go get the ones they lost. But they keep, oh man, if I do it this way, maybe it would be better. Or, if I just learn how to do this one more thing, maybe it will be improved. But while you're learning, you're not doing. And learning is essential, believe me. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, actually literally over millions of dollars, learning and books and resources and manuals like the things that you'll find at Susan Steinbrecher's site. Spent millions of dollars on things to learn. But you don't learn until you implement. And in implementing and putting things into practice is how you become better, and it's how you improve. Learning is learning, but improvement comes from doing and testing. And you know what? You will fail. I can tell you that of all of the marketing programs that I've implemented, I've had some okay successes, things that have generated customers, and I've had a lot of failures. Things that I've had mailings where I've spent $25,000. Now, that may seem like a lot, may sound like not very much, but I've spent $25,000, reached in my pocket and spent it, and didn't get any customers. This was something that I drew up and I was so excited. I spent dozens of days thinking and planning and writing and hiring people to work on it, hiring people, copywriters, people putting together websites, and it did nothing. And it was so embarrassing to have done my very best work, implemented my greatest idea, hired people to create marketing based on my vision. They saw it. They loved it. Implemented it, hired web guys to create websites, and it generated nothing, zero, no customers, no new business, nothing. And yes, you know what? It isn't fun. It's not something that I relish. It's not something that I look forward to. But those disappointments are an essential part of achieving success. Now, creating disappointments just for the sake of creating disappointments isn't going to get you any closer, but implementing, thinking, learning, coming up with new strategies, you know what? That failure taught me an important lesson. And it was all about missing the market. And that's what really most of the failures that I listen to, and the people who bring me these strategies and things that they did, almost every time the failure came from a lack of understanding of the market, of the customer, not from any kind of failure in the strategy itself. So that is how you fix most failures, is by going out, learning more about the customer. But regardless, you can research to death, but you won't have any idea whether or not somebody's going to buy something until you offer it to them. You have no idea how an employee is going to react to you sitting them down and using Susan's advice in how you present doing your heart-centered leadership until you do it. And you know what? You might fail at it the first couple times you try to implement it. And rather than getting dejected and using that as an excuse and reason why you can never do it again, instead, reflect and try to use it as an opportunity to learn how to improve yourself. Take ownership and go, you know what, I didn't do as well. I didn't get as good a result as I had hoped I would get. But, you know, I'm going to use that in order to improve. And that is how you use failure. Use it as a growth opportunity rather than as something to avoid. The opportunity to learn, the opportunity to improve, and the opportunity to move forward towards freedom in your business. That's what failure is all about. I have quite a few thoughts about credibility. Credibility is crucial in business, and it's been a very interesting several weeks as Republicans and Democrats debate healthcare reform, because it's all come down to credibility. Who do you believe and why, and how do you get people to believe in you? Coming up after this brief message.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about, called The Phenomenon? Question: was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
Credibility is the engine that drives everything you do. Without credibility, you've got nothing. You don't have trust. You don't have power. You don't have the ability to convince your employees or really even yourself of something. Credibility is crucial in business. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. And I think it's very interesting to look at the differences in credibility that we're seeing among our elected officials. Let's take Barack Obama, who over the last 2 months has seen a huge decline in his approval ratings. But I think that above all, not necessarily approval ratings or what have you, Barack has lost a huge amount of credibility. You know, he ran during the election as really more of a moderate candidate. You know, he didn't come across as somebody who, you know, even though it was his past and his voting record, he really showed in the elections that he was more of a moderate type guy, and said, you know, wasn't going to raise taxes, and that he said he wasn't going to raise taxes on anybody making $250,000, and you know, he just seemed like a moderate guy. Then through his actions, he was saying one thing while at the same time doing other things. And what that did is it really destroyed his credibility. Coming out and saying that you're pro-business while at the same time trying to finagle union rules that forces an arbitrator to set salaries if you can't agree with your labor after a time period, and then also making it phenomenally easier for unions to come into a shop and unionize. All of those things really demonstrated, his actions demonstrated that he wasn't upfront and legitimate, being fully upfront. Now let's look at the Republicans on the other side. And you have Sarah Palin talking about death panels. Well, you know, she came out with a Facebook entry on her Facebook page that talked about how the House and Congress and Barack Obama are installing death panels that are going to eliminate health care for senior citizens. Well, it turns out that there was a grain of truth in the death panel argument. However, when you really peeled back what it was, you know, you could really see that Sarah's message was all hyperbole. And even though, you know, it really got attention and maybe really had some impact, I think it damaged her credibility more than it helped her, because instead of being a normal American and just being that everyday person that normal people can relate to, she really jumped on board with all the politics as usual by taking some partial truth and exaggerating it to the point where it was a lie. And I think that as we work in business, nothing is more important to us, nothing's more important to you, nothing's more important to me than our credibility. We have got to make sure that everything we do lines up with everything we say. And so, and that's why I take deadlines and promises I make to clients so important. I've worked with somebody for years who, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll get that done for you tomorrow. Oh, I'll get that done for you this afternoon. I'll get that done for you tonight. And because he says, and he's trying to help and he's trying to be responsive and he's trying to provide great customer service, but because he says yes to everybody, he's not able to deliver to anyone. And it's crucial that you always make your promise, because it damages your credibility. So now, they, you know, somebody thinks, well, yeah, he tells me the sky is blue, but there again, he told me yesterday he was going to get this done and he never did it. And then he told me 3 weeks ago that he was going to get something to me tomorrow, and I didn't hear from him for a week. And so in business, if you say you're going to be somewhere, be there, and be there early. I know how difficult it is. I'm busy too, and it is a challenge for me to get work done. And I've got members of my team that sometimes don't deliver what they say they're going to deliver. And that means I've got to hurry up and get it done in order to meet the client deadline. In business, it is crucial to you and to me that we do what we say we're going to do and make it happen every time. Because otherwise, others look at us and think, you know, doesn't keep his word. She doesn't keep her word. And so I can't really trust them to get this project done for us. Be trustworthy, and folks will trust you. That is how you succeed in business. And I want to thank you again for listening to Business Profits Radio. Coming up next week, we got some new rules for business and interesting strategies for coping with the recession. Business was hard before the recession, and it's even more difficult today. We're going to talk about how to cope and thrive next week. Until then, I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, for Business Profits Radio.
Business Profits Radio is produced by Corey Scrobe in conjunction with WebTalkRadio.net. Your host is Robert Scrobe. You can learn more about Robert from his blog at www.robertscrobe.com. Business Profits Radio is dedicated to helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. To be notified immediately when new shows are posted, visit www.businessprofitsradio.com. For guest application or advertising details, you can visit us on the web at www.businessprofitsradio.com. Although Business Profits Radio believes the content is accurate, complete, and current, The host, guests, and show producers make no warranty as to the accuracy, completeness, or currency of the content. It is your responsibility to verify any information before relying on it. None of the information provided on this show should be construed as legal advice, nor is anyone associated with Business Profits Radio engaged in the practice of law. If you need legal advice, please seek the advice of an independent legal counsel. This show is copyright protected by Business Profits Radio, Inc., 2008. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Business Profits Radio.